You cannot control, you cannot do anything with the other person, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really think looking at what your part is, right? What's your part in this relationship or the situation that is happening or unfolding? And then how can you take care of yourself? Like, are your basic needs being met? Because a lot of times when we're in the hole, we feel, like you said, it's fight, flight, freeze, fawn, right? Like, we're in this place of survival. And so we are really just trying to survive. We're just trying to get by.
Hey there, beautiful soul. Welcome to Cultivate Your Joyful Life, where we believe true fulfillment blooms from within. I'm Emily Liu, your certified life coach, and I'm on a mission to help you create a life you absolutely love. In a world where we constantly juggle priorities from career to parenting, relationships, and health, it's easy to feel overwhelmed or not enough. But don't worry, in this corner of the universe, I'm here to share practical tips and inspiration to help you access your inner joy right now. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and let's cultivate your joyful life together. Here we go. So today I am excited to introduce you to Carla Romo. She is a dear friend of mine, one of my first coaches ever, and my coaching peers. And she's also one of my coaches in my program, The Happily Haired Formula. I just love and trust and adore her so much because she truly is an expert when it comes to self-love, setting healthier boundaries, and creating healthier relationships. Again, relationships with others or with yourself. I know the title is How to Get Over Toxic Relationships, and I used to think toxic relationships were really volatile and abusive, but what you'll learn in this episode is it could be subtle too. A toxic relationship is just basically a relationship that no longer serves you, and it can be in the workplace. It could also be in an intimate relationship. So we'll talk more about it, but if you know you want healthier relationships, healthier friendships, healthier colleagues or managers, you're going to really enjoy this episode. And Carla also delivers very practical advice and inspiration to make the change that you know you want deep down inside. All right, so let me go ahead and read Carla's bio. Carla Romo is an international certified dating and relationship coach who's helped close to 1,000 singles reclaim confidence and fun in dating and successfully find their person. She's the author of Contagious Love, Break Free from Codependency for Damn Good, a speaker and former The Love Fix podcast co-host. At age 24, she hit her rock bottom when she found herself in another toxic codependent relationship and in a cycle of burnout from her TV career in Hollywood. But this time, she got up and learned how to break free from codependency and love herself enough to choose healthy relationships. Inspired by her self-growth journey, she turned red flags into roses. Today, she helps women and men push through their BS, aka blindsides, so they can thrive in dating, get over breakups, and make relationships everlasting. All right, you ready? Here we go. Okay, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, Carla.
I'm so excited to be here.
I know. And for those that know you already, because you're one of our Happily Hired Formula coaches in my group coaching program, you're also one of my first coaches that I ever worked with because we went to IPEC together and got certified at the same time.
I know.
So I love this full circle moment. And yeah. I just knew I had to bring you in because relationships are a huge part of cultivating a joyful life. Like, I always think when my husband and I have a conflict, life would be so much easier if I could just ditch you right now.
Hey, but you got to stay in it and work through it, right?
Exactly. Growing pains. No, but really, I think about it, like, so much of our lives, we're human beings that want to connect with others. We crave connection. And whether it's in the workplace, it is in a love life, it's in a friendship, it's with a complete stranger. There's yep. going to be conflict. And so I definitely want to dig into that today. But as I read your bio, I was like, okay, she's been in toxic relationships. We got to dig into this drama.
Well, there's not much drama because I got healthy, exactly. which we can dig into, but yes.
Yes. Okay. So I guess the title of this, because I am a big SEO nerd and people are actually searching for this. So I hope whoever's listening right now finds this helpful.
I love it. They've come to the right spot.
Yes. How to get over a toxic relationship. And I know get over it is not really the greatest terminology, but how do we work through this? So first, let's have you define what a toxic relationship is. Let's start with that.
Okay. So I'm going to give a very broad definition and then we can get into like the little nitty gritty details of toxic relationships. But toxic relationships are any type of unhealthy behaviors between a person or something like an object. So money could be part of that, an unhealthy relationship with money or another person where it tends to cycle or there tends to be a certain type of pattern of these unhealthy behaviors. And so to extend from that a little bit, it's the lack of feeling safe, feeling like you, and safe not just emotionally, but you know, you're talking about emotional safety, psychological safety, physical safety. And then in addition to that, it's the lack of trust. So feeling like you can trust somebody to follow their word or that you trust them within, you know, keeping their word, a friendship, relationship, working relationship. So that's really how I would define what a toxic relationship is.
I love that definition. So it's a pattern of feeling unsafe and cannot trust this other yes. person or this other thing in our lives. And I love that you also touched on money because I think that's a huge relationship and the way
oh,
you
gosh.
Money and talk about money. Yeah, would it want to be in a relationship with you as well? Okay, so beautiful. Now, I know we read your bio and you have been in a toxic relationship. So can I ask how you like realized you were in one?
Yes. So I'm going to go all the way back to my childhood where I grew up with domestic violence. So my father was abusive and he left when I was very young. So as a result, and I wasn't conscious of this at the time, but there was family dysfunction. And so as a result, I never felt enough. I never felt lovable. I never felt worthy. I always felt like I needed to prove myself worth and love in romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. So what that looked like was getting into unhealthy, toxic, or codependent relationships. I define codependency, and I talk about this in my book, Contagious Love, Break Free from Codependency for Damn Good. Mm-hmm. I define codependency as losing a sense of self to somebody else. Okay, so I thought I could save and fix people. If I was going on dates, you know, in my early 20s and I found out that somebody had this traumatic childhood, it was like game on. Yes, let's go. Like, I'm going to fix you. And then I will be proven worthy of love. Right. So there was this pattern of that. And I was in unhealthy relationships and toxic relationships. And it wasn't until my early 20s where I was in a very unhealthy, abusive relationship. And it was really in that moment where I started to do work on myself and I started to recognize, this behavior is also what I'm instilling. Like, it's not just about these other people because you can point the finger so much. But when there starts to be a pattern within myself, I was accepting this unhealthy, unacceptable behavior. Right. And as a result of having low self-esteem. But a lot of people might have looked at me and thought, oh, it looks like she's confident and whatnot. Right. And I was confident in certain areas, but it was this deep inner wound that I needed to heal. And then once I healed and moved forward and recognized, oh, this is a conscious choice. So I can either keep creating these patterns and being part of it consciously, or I can choose self-love and can choose to build that relationship with myself. And so I chose that path, obviously. And as I say, I'm in the most important relationship I'll ever be in, which is the relationship I have with myself today.
I absolutely agree with that 100%. And thank you so much for sharing like your childhood patterning, because that makes complete sense as an adult. That's not only what felt familiar to you, but what I heard was a compensatory strategy around, you know, I have to be the hero, to be loved or valuable, and the fixer.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so huge. And I love what you shared at the end there, which is I'm in the most important relationship, which is with myself. So can I ask, like, how did you build up the courage or the aha moment where you were like, enough is enough?
So I was on a solo trip in the Wicklow Forest, and this was actually in 2015. And I was just standing in this like forest. And at the time I was in that abusive relationship. And I just had this really profound spiritual moment. And I wasn't really a spiritual person before this, okay? But I had started dabbling a little bit more into spirituality. And I just had this moment. It's like, really, I saw these two paths in front of me. And it was this no-brainer of, you know, you can keep doing this, or you can do this other path. And I felt so drawn to that other path that I thought, I can't go back. And, you know, that's where I say I really have broken free from codependency, which has been 9 years now, of choosing to be a healthy person and then choosing relationships that reflect healthy to me.
But that probably took, I'm guessing, a lot of time in between.
So in terms of the aha moment of standing in the Wicklow Forest of like, oh yeah, 100%, because it's interesting, you know, I'm a huge proponent for therapy, and I've been going to therapy since I was a senior in high school, on and off at different times. And for various different things. And so I had done therapy before this relationship, and I had gotten to a really solid place. However, I was still in the codependent mindset. I hadn't fully broken free from codependency. And so that to me is a slippery slope. And I always say that if you're codependent, and you can be codependent with not just relationships that are romantic, you can be codependent with working relationships, with family, you know, all of those things can bring out codependency. And it wasn't until I was like, okay, like I'd done this work. So I'd already gotten a taste of the good stuff, right? Of change and what could be, that it was just finally like when I was like, I just have had enough. And I think what was really profound for me in that moment was just this like voice that was like, you're going to be okay no matter what. And that to me was what gave me the courage to be able to say, okay, I'm going to do this for myself.
Yeah. Okay, that's such a great voice to have. What would you consider or call that voice, or where did it come from? Is it the higher self? Is it?
So I call it my higher power, you know, in terms of spirituality. I'm spiritual. I don't follow any, you know, particular thing with crystals or astrology or anything like that. It's just my own relationship to having, you know, a God today or whatever you want to call that. Sometimes I call it the universe, you know, it just depends on like what I'm feeling and where I'm feeling connected.
Yeah, I really love that. And I feel like a lot of us aren't necessarily attuned to like the spirituality world, because we live in such like a 3D logical world. And this isn't like religious or anything like that, but just more of trusting this higher power, this feeling and this faith that I'm taken care of. I'm actually curious, like, if you have any suggestions or advice for our listeners on if they're like, I don't know, I'm so far removed from that. Where do I even begin to allow that? What would you say to them?
So I always say, follow your damn gut. And some people, like some of my clients, don't feel it in their gut. They're like, I feel it in my chest or my heart, or, you know, it's a body sensation. And I always had gut feelings. I just didn't follow them. You know, I was really good at painting red flags green and convincing myself that, oh, it's okay, this person, you know, whatever. But it's like all along, I knew my gut was off. And that to me is like my spiritual source of like guiding me through life. And, you know, I can always listen to it, and I can always decide not to listen to it, right? Like I get to choose my own life and whatever that looks like. But I will say, like, if you can get in touch with that gut feeling of like, you know, something's off. Yeah. And I know we all have experienced that. Like, you know, when something's not right, try following it. Go, you know, do the opposite, which can feel uncomfortable. Like, I get it, you know, but that's a great way to kind of start to recognize and play with it a little bit.
Yeah, I love that play and that flex, because it is like a muscle. And so much of us, we either ignore our intuition, like you said, those red flags that are like flashing before you.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times that comes from also like feeling like we've followed our intuition before and it didn't work out, or it was like the wrong decision or wrong choice.
Yes.
And I always like to remind people of like even zooming out further, because sometimes it could feel like the wrong choice or the wrong thing, but it actually serves you, because that's
the lesson that you needed to learn or the thing that needed to put you on the path that you're meant to go on. So I love that.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't have the answers until you've moved forward through that decision that felt like the wrong choice, but then it'll make sense in a couple of months or even sometimes years from now of like, oh yeah, that's why it didn't work out.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So going back to the idea of being in a toxic relationship, again, whether it's with someone or something in any capacity, that is a pattern that is making you feel unsafe or lose trust. Tell me, like, what are the, I guess, signs or things that people should be on the lookout for?
Yes. So I even want to throw this in there too, of I had an unhealthy relationship with my career in television because at the time, you know, I wasn't a coach, you know, right away. I started my business later after listening to my gut feeling of saying, okay, it's time to get out and go. But, you know, this can really come out in so many different ways, like right, what you just said. And so I think here really, you know, acknowledging too that like this is beyond just the relationship. This is beyond just like work. It's really the relationship with ourselves. So if you find yourself, right, walking on eggshells, so sort of that like, oh, I can't speak up, or I'm always like anticipating that like, you know, something's going to happen. And so I'm not going to say anything. Lack of boundaries. So not saying no, saying yes, taking on more than you can handle. Another one could be as well. And of course, this is from the lens of somebody who, you know, yes, there can be a toxic person, but both people are in this unhealthy dynamic, right? Like I said, I took ownership over saying, okay, you know, I get that these guys are doing and acting a certain way, but I also need to take responsibility for myself. So it's from the self of, you know, the codependent, that type of lens. The walking on eggshells, lack of boundaries, being in denial of your situation. So instead of looking at the facts, it's like, I always say fall in love with reality and not potential. Potential that this job will finally get better. It'll be okay. Or, you know, my partner will finally stop, you know, drinking and, you know, they'll get sober eventually. Or like they didn't have as many drinks tonight, so it should be okay. Right? Like all of those types of denial play into this unhealthy behavior. Other things as well as perfectionism. If you find yourself like needing to be absolutely perfect, right? Because you're wanting this person to see you in a certain way, which is manipulation. And not in the sense, and I always get pushback for this because people are like, I'm not a manipulator, but not in the sense of a narcissist and a power struggle, you manipulating to gain power. It's manipulation so that people see you a certain way. So you feel safe and protected, that you're maneuvering people's emotions and feelings and thoughts about who you are or what decisions you're making so that you feel safe to make these choices.
Oh, so good. The word that I use for that is like to fawn or to appease.
It's, fawn. Yep.
Yeah, fawn. Like there's fight, yep. Flight, fight, or fawn. And yep. So some of us use that as a safety protective measure. But what I'm ultimately hearing is like attachment styles underneath all of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time.
Oh, so big. Like, and the thing that comes up for me right now is like for people who are in personal relationships, yes, there is like a power dynamic or struggle, but when you talked about like being able to set boundaries, to be able to like share your truth or your voice, I just know I work with a lot of job seekers who feel like they're in careers where there is kind of a power dynamic. Like I can't necessarily talk back to my boss or like speak up, and or that's how they feel, because it's like the repercussion is maybe they'll fire me. Maybe they'll put me on a PIP plan, you know? And so I'm just curious what advice you would have for them if they feel like there's this power dynamic in play.
Well, I'm even going to look at myself, and this was like 7 years ago, where I was working on a TV show and there was a power dynamic. And in television, like you don't have HR and you're freelance. So there's a saying in Hollywood, which is you're only as good as your last show. And so, you know, if you burn a bridge, like you might not get another show, right? So there's a lot of like fear in that. And I will say this, that at some point it got to the place where my happiness and my sanity was most important. Mm-hmm. And that I was willing to create boundaries within the scope that made sense and were appropriate, right? I wasn't going to refuse to do work and things like that. That's different. But I was going to create boundaries. And if they were not okay with it, then that was on them as my superior to come and talk to me about it. That was not on me to make sure that they were happy and they were okay with what I was implementing. And I'll just be completely honest that when I implemented boundaries, the relationships actually became much healthier and they respected it. And at first there was this executive producer that kind of pushed back a little bit. And I wasn't going to join his circus with what was going on. And so I created some boundaries and that actually allowed him to relax and him to calm down and to recognize, oh, okay, you know what? Like, we'll work within what you stated and that actually makes sense.
Oh, so good. And I also think that you would give permission to be the leader that other people just don't have modeled for you. But what you just shared there was such a beautiful case of putting yourself first and like, I also heard a layer of trust in there that things are going to work out regardless. And if I'm sacrificing my mental health, my emotional well-being, then it's not even worth it. Like, what's the point in all of that?
So 100%.
I love that. And for anyone listening out there, like, it may feel that you are in this power dynamic struggle where you don't have any options or choices. But I always find there's so many opportunities out there because I look at the world through a very abundant lens. Like, if this may be the door that needs to be closed to open up another one or 10 other ones in front of you.
Exactly. And I think that what we have to remember too is you can't prevent life from happening. Mm-hmm. Like, people get fired. People get laid off. It sucks. And I've got clients who are laid off right now, right? Like, I understand the toll that it can take, but that is just part of life.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, if you sit around in fear of like trying to prevent people from feeling a certain way or doing certain things, you are going to drive yourself absolutely crazy. And that is your doing of adding into that toxicity. Mm-hmm. If that, you know, relationship is unhealthy.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. And it goes back to like also seeing like, where am I adding to this? Because you're absolutely right. Like, I'll just be really vulnerable and share, like, Chris and I have had a lot of arguments. And, you know, it's easy for me to like be like, why aren't you doing this? Or why are you not doing this? But then I realize, okay, like, where am I needing to take ownership in this? Like, where am I creating or enabling some of this as well? So yeah, that's huge. For anyone who is really finding themselves, because I know I work with a lot of clients that have had traumatic work experiences, but also like relationships where they start to now question their worth and their esteem is kind of like hit because, again, like, this relationship didn't work out. They take I think to a fault sometimes, like, all the ownership of like, this must have been my problem, or like, this was on me. I'm just curious what kind of advice you would give to somebody who's in that stage of like, in the hole is what I like to call it.
Yes. So I think the most important thing is to look inward. You cannot control, you cannot do anything with the other person, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really think looking at what your part is, right? What's your part in this relationship or the situation that is happening or unfolding? And then how can you take care of yourself? Like, are your basic needs being met? Because a lot of times when we're in the hole, we feel, like you said, it's fight, flight, freeze, fawn, right? Like, we're in this place of survival. And so we are really just trying to survive. We're just trying to get by. But asking yourself, like, what do I need right now? Did I eat all my meals? Mm-hmm. Okay, check. Did I go for a walk outside? Did I even leave the house today? Okay, check, right? And kind of going down sort of that basic needs survival list. You don't need to go buy an expensive, you know, massage or facial, you know, or, you know, whatever big thing is trending in terms of self-care, self-love. Yeah. But it's important to really just take a step back and ask yourself, like, what do I need? Is it like, do I need connection? Do I need to go meet up with a friend or call a friend? Just really kind of looking at like what our basic needs are and working from there.
So beautiful. Like, I have a whole list of needs that every human has. And when their needs are not being met, like, that's when you have all of those negative feelings and emotions that surface, including feeling like you're hopeless. But for anyone listening here, do you want to run down like some of the core essential needs that every human needs?
So when I'm looking at needs in terms of just relational needs, right? You need to feel safe. You need to feel secure. You need to feel trusting, right? Belonging is another big one. Effective communication. And all of those needs are essential, right? There's no need that is like better than another. But I also think as well, you know, we really don't look at emotional intimacy as being a need that, you know, we should prioritize. A lot of times you could go and hang out with a group of people, but did you actually feel emotional intimacy, right? And that's really being vulnerable, but not oversharing with strangers or people you don't know. You need to have, feel safe with people, but building these relationships, especially now, if you look at studies and researchers, like they'll say that we are the most lonely right now in America that we've really ever been. And so it's really looking at like our needs are not being met. Yet we are human beings, and like the number one desire as human is connection, right? Like as humans, we are meant and made to connect. And so if we're not connecting, right, to even ourselves, it's like, how are we even able to connect to others?
Beautiful. Yes. And I would also add to that, like, appreciation. Like, everyone wants to feel appreciated. And that goes back to like approved of, right? But to your point earlier, I love that you're like, you don't have to hop onto like an expensive massage table or like do a facial. Like, do you if that feels good to you. But like, so many of these things that we need are things that we can give to ourselves right in this moment without even having to leave the house. So those are just really beautiful. And as you fill up your needs and give that back to yourself, what does that do for you or give to you?
Well, it gives you a sense of self, confidence, self-esteem, self-worth, love. And then when you have these built up, right? And I always say you're like, I call it a self-love journey because there is an end to life. Like we just live it until we're living it, right? And that's what we're given. So you know, it's a constant and not in an exhausting way, but a way of showing up for ourselves constantly, you know, being able to recognize, oh, you know what? I kind of need to check in with myself again, or I need to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. Something also, Emily, that you had shared with me. I mean, at this point, it might have been 7 years ago when we entered into coaching school. But because yeah, 7 years, that's crazy. But you had said something to me that you had listened to some podcast or something that had said the five people around you are like the most influential of who you are and like the way that you live your life. Do you remember saying this? It was a whole conversation we had.
The phrase is like, you are the culmination of the five people you surround yourself most with, which makes a ton of sense because your environment is everything.
Yes. So if you take that and then look at the people you pick in your life as being so important, and I always tell clients, you know, when I'm working with them on relationships and dating, the most important life decision you're going to make is picking a life partner. And it reflects right into what, you know, the whole like five people around you, right? That's one of those five. But then if you extend that out, where do you spend most of your time? You spend it at work, right? With coworkers. Then you have certain friends and maybe families in there too, right? So it's not this like crazy big, yeah, you know, you might have tons of friends, but who are the top five, right? And so I really think here too of looking at it, of picking people to be in your life is a really big choice to be made. And it's not something that we should underestimate or look at, but it's really a need and a necessity to being happy or being fulfilled in life.
That is so beautiful to state. And yeah, I know so many people who've outgrown like friendships or relationships, but they're so afraid to set those boundaries of like, you know, I, because they don't want to hurt their feelings. Like they don't want to, so they continue people pleasing, but at their own expense. So anyone who's like, oh my God, that's me. I have a relationship or a friendship that's overdue. What would you say to them right now?
So don't freak out. You don't need to cut people off right now because that is a reaction instead of response. So I'm really big on not reacting, but responding. So I call it getting to an emotional sober state. So if you recognize this, you're freaking out, you're not emotionally sober, you're like, oh my gosh, this just unlocked this crazy thing, I need to cut these people out. No. Instead, I say go inward, get specific on what is this relationship serving you? And then the really important question I love asking clients is all the time, what are my motives for being in this relationship? So if it's because you're afraid of being alone, or you have fear, or you know, that, well, this person's always been there for me, so I feel this guilt, this obligation, right? It's really getting like clear on what the motives are. And then, you know, with that of, okay, what relationships do I want? Like, what do I want to have? And is it possible to repair with this person? Because I'll be honest, you know, it takes one person in a relationship to make a relationship healthy.
Yeah. The phrase that comes is like, you know better, you do better. I love that. And I love the like respond, don't react. And always repair. Anything repair is so huge, because so many of us like hold on to like shame or guilt, or we just think like, I can't come back from this, but that's not always necessarily true.
And I actually
want to encourage.
Yeah, I actually think the healthier people, and look, if this isn't you, it's okay, because I used to cut people off type of thing. Like if I, you know, in terms of like unhealthy behaviors that I, when I was in these relationships and whatnot. But if you can actually be in a safe, if there is, and let me preface this, if the relationship has potential of safety and security, okay, if it doesn't, there's like, I'm not saying get back with your ex. Like I am saying, you know, like there is a reason, like it's healthy to grieve and move forward. Like there's a time and place for that. But say it's somebody like a coworker or family member, right, that you're wanting to repair, you can start to change your behaviors and you can start to get healthy. And that changes the dynamic. It doesn't mean that that person's going to get healthy. We don't know, right? But what it does for you is it makes it so that you're in a healthy relationship for yourself. You're showing up in a healthy way. And that's what you have the control over.
Yeah, I really love that. I mean, if you think about any marriage, by the way, like you're locked in and committed, like there's going to be conflict that you need to
resolve. Yes.
Instead of just run away. Share with me, Carla, what we've discovered or unpacked what toxic is. What is healthy? Like, what's the ideal state, I guess, that we're striving towards?
So I'm really big on interdependence. So interdependence is you have yourself and the other person has themselves, and they have their own hobbies, their own personalities, their own lives, right? But then you bring that into the relationship and that creates the interdependence. So you're not trying to control, you're not trying to fix, you're not trying to change somebody else. You accept them as they are, right? And then you bring that into the relationship of like, what is best for the friendship, or what is best for our marriage, or what, you know, in terms of working relationships even, right? Like recognizing like they have their own roles, I have my own roles at work. And then we bring that and work together as a team versus I'm going to micromanage the shit out of you and tell you what to do. And I'm, you know, hold myself to a level of perfection. Therefore, now I'm projecting it and holding you to a level of perfection. Right. So I would say the interdependence is really key to healthy relationships. And then adding to that is the opposite of what I was sharing with toxic relationships. So emotional safety, you know, physical safety, mental safety, and then also being able to have trust and then having the emotional intimacy. That's appropriate, obviously, because certain relationships you got to gauge, you know, if you're at work, you're not going to start talking about some really personal things, but being able to create when appropriate, the emotional intimacy.
Yeah. I really love that. And that all goes back. I keep going back to attachment styles when I talk to you, because it's just like the secure attachment. And I personally know that I do anxious attachment, as I had parents who were not consistent growing up. And it totally translates into today. And this constant need of like feeling like I need validation and I need like safety. And so that's something I'm personally working on, is like giving that to myself versus trying to get my husband to give that to me, which of course he does avoidant attachment. So we're imagining in heaven.
Yeah. You go that, do the little dance, the avoidant and anxious.
Oh, yeah. We're just chasing each other around.
Yep.
I love that so much. Okay. So I love your definition of healthy. And this also goes back to the boundaries. Like, I'm hearing that so big. And I don't know if you see boundaries the same way, but I feel like a lot of people think boundaries is like, this is what I won't allow another person to do to me. But boundaries is really like you holding a, I am, like, I am the type of person that doesn't let people make dates on the same day, or doesn't throw a project on my lap and just say yes. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about boundaries, because I know you mentioned it earlier.
So I love boundaries. I think that's actually what creates safety in a relationship. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people feel like, oh, if I have boundaries, I'm going to upset them, or I'm going to push them away, or they're not going to like me, or I'm, you know, whatever. And actually boundaries do the opposite. So it's our own internal problems and blocks that stop us from creating those boundaries. But once they're done in a healthy way and an efficient way, they're really powerful. So I define boundaries as 100% self-care. They're mm-hmm. bendable, but not because somebody crossed it, because you no longer need the boundary. Mm-hmm. So I look at them as protection, right? But they're not walls, and they're not punishment to others. Oh, you didn't call me back, so I'm not going to call you back now. Nope, that's not a boundary. A boundary, if somebody didn't call you back, is one, either speaking up and saying, hey, you know, you said you'd call, it upset me and hurt my feelings. So like you said, taking the I am statement on myself, mm-hmm. or reevaluating and saying, you know, I don't know, this person's not really putting effort into this relationship. What choices now do I have to make if I want to either continue this friendship, or maybe I want to take a step back, right? Recognizing that you have choices within that. So that's really the scope of boundaries that I see it as.
Yeah, I love that. And that goes back to responding versus reactionary.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I am curious, because a lot of responding really requires you to be in a very regulated nervous system. So tell me a little bit more about, or tell our listeners, how to build your regulated system. So I have a lot of ideas around this, but I know you're okay. Big on self-care and all this.
Yeah. So I there's something that, you know, my therapist and I talked a lot about, which is co-regulation. Mm-hmm. And as a mom, you probably have experienced this maybe with your children, where, you know, your child's upset and they're screaming. So if you scream at your child, that is not going to encourage them to relax their nervous system. Giving them a hug of some sort can help do that. Or if you are in a romantic relationship and you need to be co-regulated, maybe you're feeling anxious, you have abandonment issues right here, you know, that's me, that, you know, look, they're buttons that get pushed. Yes, I've worked very hard to heal around them, but you do not get fixed. We are not people that need to be fixed. We're people who have buttons, and at times they get pushed. We have tools how to cope with them. And co-regulation is a really powerful one. So if you're in a relationship and all of a sudden one of those buttons gets pushed, and yes, it takes, you know, a certain level of regulation on your partner's side too, but to be able to like hold you, or to be able to say something that's comforting, like, hey, I love you, I'm not going to leave you, I'm here for you, right? To be able to regulate yourself. So that's a really powerful one that you can practice. However, if you're like, well, I don't have kids, I'm not in a relationship, that's okay. There's other ones around being able to just work out. There's studies and research that shows that it actually fights depression because our body lets off endorphins. It feels good. Being able to be in somebody else's physical presence that makes you feel calm, that also is a form of co-regulation. We just don't look at it always as that lens, but being able to get together with that friend that always makes you feel good. Being able to journal, going to therapy, getting a coach, you know, all of those things can help you maintain, you know, balancing your nervous system. But there's also things as well of being able to like give yourself a hug, or, you know, putting your hand on your heart and just breathing. You know, there's somatic work around that that you can do. So there's a lot of different outlets and things. There's no one size fits all. But being able to feel safe, like, what is it that makes you feel safe? And it can be something simple, not a way to cope. So you know, if you feel stressed, not going into the fridge and eating a lot, because, oh, that calms me. But finding outlets like going for a walk or journaling or calling a friend or cuddling with your partner, you know, those types of things can help.
Yeah, I love that. My go-to personally is letting the sun hit my face, because I tend to be someone who just sits at a computer and like loses complete track of time. But like just taking an intentional walk, like, oh, just resets my nervous system when the sun just beams on me. And then the one that I really like to self-soothe is one hand on my heart, one hand on my belly, and just repeating like, I am safe, I am loved. Because to Carla's point, that's like our basic need and reminder and what we're really craving underneath all of the other things that we're trying to strive for. And we think we're going to get from that.
Yeah. And I love that you have these tools, you know, and we're not taught these as children. And yes, I know that there's mindfulness that's being taught in schools and things like that, which I'm like, yay, this is so important. But to be honest, this is not something that we were taught as children. So to be able to teach ourselves, like, that is our responsibility. You know, it's not our fault what happened to us. And it's not our fault that people have done damaging things to us as children or in the past. But what our responsibility is as adults is to be able to learn tools to cope with them so that we can be better human beings on this earth.
Oh, absolutely. And all of this that you just shared, like, to me, it falls under personal growth. I don't know if that's what you would call it, but like, I'm just curious how you define personal growth.
Yeah. You know, I think about personal growth as there's not like a, you know, we think about growth as like linear a lot of times, but personal growth is really two steps forward, one step back. And sometimes it's like five step forward and then negative six and then another three. And then, right, like that is personal growth. And it's being able to not prevent the feelings from happening if something bad happens, but it's being able to, there's a really fun saying that I'm about to say, which is grow through what you go through. And then being able to grow through those experiences. So being able to say like, yeah, it's terrible that this happened to me, or I don't feel great that this is going on, but I'm accepting it. Because now once you have the level of acceptance, now I can make choices of how I want to show up to the situation and my life.
I love that. The phrase that came to my mind as you were speaking that is like, through every breakdown is a breakthrough.
Ah, yes.
Let me rephrase that. Behind every breakdown is a breakthrough.
Awesome. Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so share with us one key takeaway for anyone currently finding themselves in any toxic relationship right now. Just one piece of advice for them or a word of inspiration.
Give yourself some grace and compassion.
So good. And hug
because yes. Because whatever, you know, you're going through is difficult and you're blaming yourself and there's a lot of shame. And shame is there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're internalizing that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Nothing wrong with you. And I would also add like shame wants to be seen and heard instead of hide. So, you know, you can find a great coach like Carla to support you around that. Okay, two more questions.
Yep.
I always ask every guest, what is one piece of advice you would give our listeners to start cultivating a joyful life?
What was it that made you excited as a child? And take that and then put it into adult form. So what was it? Was it just the excitement of going on a trip? Or was it the excitement of listening to your favorite song? Right? When we look at like cultivating joy, we're looking at it from, it doesn't have to be anything big and expansive, but what were the basics? Like, what was it that made you excited as a child? Because I think we lose track of that as we age and lose sight of it, but we can always bring ourselves back to the nostalgia.
So good. And I talked about that in episode 2. So this is why I have Carla as not only a coach in my community, we also speak the same language. And to me, it's all about like personal growth is like reparenting. It's like, what did you wish you had? And how do you give that to yourself, essentially? Okay, last question is, where can people find you? What do you want people to do if they're like, I love Carla so much?
Well, if you love me so much, let's connect. I always love connecting with others. You can go to my website, which is carlaromo.com, and that's Carla with a C. And you can fill out an application to work together. And maybe you're dating out there. I actually just authored a new dating guide called Swipe Match Spark, the ultimate dating app guide. So if you, you know, need help and support with dating and what that looks like from literally start to finish, all the way beyond, you know, to a first date, there's a bonus feature that brings you into the first date in real life, all the way to the beginning of cultivating and creating the perfect type of partner that you want to go after and getting clear on that, with lots of awesome exercises and whatnot. You can also go to my website there and find it.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, I have two follow-up questions. One, yeah. Did you get CarlaRomo.com? Because I remember it being IamCarlaRomo.com.
Yes, a couple years ago it opened up. When I was saying this, because when I started my business, Carla Romo was like $500. And at the time I had just like quit my job and I was starting this new coaching career. It was like almost 7 years ago. And I was like, I can't spend that money. But I Am Carla Romo was only like, I don't know, like $5 or something. Yeah. And so at some point, whoever was holding on to CarlaRomo.com let it go. And I found out and I bought it.
Dang it, this other Carla Romo who's making moves already got her damn website, so what's the point?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, my second question is, this step-by-step dating guide, does it teach men how to write a dating profile?
It teaches women and men. So it's for women and men, and I've coached close to 1,000 singles. Okay. Who are men and women in terms of dating app success. So this is literally my own, this is what I use for myself to be in the relationship that I'm in today. I met my boyfriend on the apps, and it's also beta tested by my clients because it is literally step-by-step the last 7 years I've been working with my clients to use and do on the apps.
I love it. I only ask because I've seen some of my friends dating apps and their profiles, and they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, well, first off, you need a new profile photo. Like, I think there's a whole market. On how
they need Swipe Match Spark, the okay. Ultimate dating app guide. Yes.
I'm just gonna definitely send this out and blast it.
I love it. Yes.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Carla, for being on the podcast. It's always good to catch up with you. Yes. Final last words before we say goodbye.
That I'm so grateful that the universe brought us together and that we've been on this journey of starting our, like, going from coaching school to having thriving businesses. So cheers to taking steps forward that were scary and vulnerable and uncomfortable, but doing it because we felt this intuitive feeling that it was the right thing to do.
Yes, always follow your intuition. It'll never yep. lead you astray. Awesome, thank you so much, Carla.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please share a comment on my blog, or if you aren't already following me on social media, come soak up more inspiration and daily wisdom. I'm over at Cultivite, or you can go to my website, cultivite.com, and learn more. Don't forget to hit subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode, and I can't wait to connect with you again soon.